taking this with me. How am I supposed to preach after that? He told me there's going to be a love offering. He didn't say it's going to be after I preached. That's a whole lot more pressure. Hey, what if I get up here and I just preach a duck? He's just going to get up here and say, oh, no love offering. You're too bad. Oh, man. If I start thanking everybody and going into detail, I'll never get through this message. So I just will say that I cannot thank this church enough for your investment into me my whole life and into my family. And thank you, Pastor. Where'd he go? Did he leave? Did he go out to cry? Yeah. You're not supposed to say bad things about the pastor. What a punk. Man. Good thing we got two boxes of tissues because I'm probably going to go through them. I want to thank my pastor and my dad for allowing me this opportunity to address the church. Take your Bibles, if you would, to Ecclesiastes 11. Pastor mentioned Ecclesiastes this morning a couple times. It's one of those things that it's one of those that just it confirms in your heart this is the right thing to preach. Ecclesiastes 11. I'm going to read the whole chapter, but I'm really just focused on the first verse. Ecclesiastes 11. The first 10 chapters of this book, like Pastor mentioned this morning, are how Solomon discovered everything in his life was vanity. He talks about all of that. But chapter 11 and 12 are kind of where he turns and he makes a switch. This is vanity and this is what you need to focus on. 11 and 12 are the conclusion of the whole matter. Don't do this. Instead, this is what you need to do. So we're in chapter 11 of Ecclesiastes. Ecclesiastes 11, verse 1. Word of God says, cast. Ecclesiastes 11, verse 1. Let's start again. I'll see if I can get through it. Cast thy bread upon the waters, for thou shalt find it after many days. Give a portion to seven, and also to eight. For thou knowest not what evil shall be on the earth. We call that diversification. If the clouds be full of rain, they empty themselves upon the earth. And if the tree fall toward the south or toward the north, in the place where the tree falleth, there it shall be. He that observeth the wind shall not sow, and he that regardeth the cloud shall not reap. Some might not plant because it's too windy to sow right now, or they might not reap because, hey, it looks like weather's rolling in. They just don't sow or they don't reap because of the weather. Verse 5, as thou knowest not what is the way of the Spirit, nor how the bones do grow in the womb of her that is with child. Even so, thou knowest not the works of God who maketh all. We can't see the baby forming, but we trust God to take care of it. Okay, we can't see the baby forming. Even with all the advancements in medicine, we can't watch it constantly. Verse 6. In the morning sow thy seed, and in the evening withhold not thine hand. For thou knowest not whether shall prosper either this or that, or whether they both shall be alike good. Now, this is talking about life. Early and late is early in life, young in life, late in life. Early and late is talking about your lifetime. Verse 7. Truly the light, that would be life as well, is sweet, and a pleasant thing it is for the eyes to behold the sun. But if a man live many years, and rejoice in them all, yet let him remember the days of darkness, for they shall be many. All that cometh is vanity. So the light is life, while darkness is death. The days of darkness, or the days of death, are longer than the days of life. Eternity is longer than our lifetime on this earth. Verse 9. Rejoice, O young man, in thy youth, and let thy heart cheer thee in the days of thy youth. And walk in the ways of thine heart, and in the sight of thine eyes. Warning, but know thou, that for all these things God will bring thee into judgment. Therefore remove sorrow. That's the vexation of spirit he was talking about this morning. Sorrow, vexation, worry, anger from thine heart. And put away evil from thy flesh. For childhood and youth are vanity. In studying this passage, I found two different opinions on what casting your bread on the water means. And one opinion came mostly from various other translations of different Bible versions. For instance, the NIV, along with several other versions, says this, what the NIV says, is ship your grain across the sea, and after many days you will receive a return. And a lot of the opinions that I found were based on that thought. Ship your grain across the sea, and afterwards you're going to receive a return. That what they said is basically Solomon is telling us how to get a profit, or flip for a profit, get a good return. But here's the thing. Solomon just spent the first 10 chapters of Ecclesiastes saying everything is vanity. Okay, chapter 2, verse 11 says, then I looked on all the works that my hands wrought and all the labor that I had labored to do, and behold, all was vanity and vexation of spirit, and there was no profit under the sun. So it doesn't really make sense to me that he would spend the whole first 10 chapters talking about vanity and vexation. There's no profit, and then chapter 11, he says, this is how to make a profit. So I don't think it's talking about that at all. I read one man who said, on his blog or whatever it was, he put the verse for the NIV, ship your grain across the sea, and afterwards you're going to make a good return. And then he said, a more close translation is cast thy bread upon the waters, and for after, or what's the verse say? Cast thy bread upon the waters, for thou shalt find it after many days. So that's a closer translation. It's like, just stick with the King James, okay? Just stick with it. It's exactly what the verse says. It's almost as if it was translated from the received text rather than the critical text, which the critical text forces man's ideas into the thought. Yeah. Just stick with the King James. Casting your bread upon the water isn't talking about profiting. Well, what is it talking about? Well, it's closely connected with the biblical idea of sowing and reaping. Some of you might also know the song, cast your bread upon the water, yeah, by helping your brother. Okay, so that song gets it closer, okay, but it still misses a good bit. So before I give you the meaning, let's break down the first verse here. Chapter 11, verse 1, it says, cast thy bread. Cast means to get rid of or give away. Sorry for all you fishermen out there. This is not talking about a fishing cast. Okay, it's not the same thing. You're still holding onto the rod whenever you cast the line. This is talking about you're giving it away. It's gone out of your hands. You're still not holding it. So it means completely give away. Cast, thy meaning yours. It belongs to you. It's yours. Bread. Bread is what keeps you alive. It is a necessity for life. Bread in those days was a huge part of the food system. In biblical times, it was a huge part of the food system. You had bread, and then you had whatever meat you could get your hands on. I mean, you had some fruit, you know, some grapes and figs and different things, but primarily you had bread and you had meat. I recall a boy that had lunch of 5 loaves and 2 fishes, okay? Bread. It's vital. It is very important. It is a necessity. Look for the bare necessity. Sorry. Food, water, shelter, clothing. Food is a necessity. Amen? You have to have food to live. So cast thy bread is get rid of or give away your necessity. Well, who provides us with our necessities? Well, God, obviously. Matthew 6:30 says, wherefore, if God so clothe the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall he not much more clothe you? Amen. Oh, you of little faith. God provides our necessities. So we need to give of what God has given us. We need to give away or get rid of what God has given us. This is not part of the message, but every time I step back, I can't see the people over here. Now I can see y'all. There we go. So the Bible says, cast thy bread, continuing on, verse 1, cast thy bread upon the waters. I don't know if you've tried this before or have any knowledge of this, but bread and water do not mix. They do not. Okay, I have thrown bread into the water to feed little fishies before. I did that with Wade while we were in Florida, my aunt's house. Went fishing with bread, but you got to squish that bread into a ball to get it to stick to the hook. If you just take off a piece of bread and throw it into the water, it immediately turns to what? Mush. Why? Bread and water do not mix. They just don't mix. It is one of the worst things in the world as a child when you pack a lunch and you don't pack the lunch. Your mommy packs the lunch. Your mama packs the lunch. And you go to the zoo. And you're having a good day at the zoo, and then lunchtime comes, and you get to the picnic table, you reach in the cooler, you pull out your sandwich, it's in the little Ziploc bag, but the Ziploc bag wasn't closed all the way. Mm. And you pull out your sandwich, and it's soggy. As a little kid, that's just the worst. It's just terrible. Like, oh, soggy bread, it's all falling apart, dripping. Bread and water don't mix. They just don't. They don't mix. With the word of God here, Solomon says, cast your bread upon the water. Cast your necessity, your supply into the river. Give into God's river what God has given you. Your necessities, what he's provided you with. Give your necessities to God into the water for him to work with. Cast thy bread upon the waters. Continuing on, the next phrase, for thou shalt find it after many days. Like I said, bread and water do not mix. They just don't. Especially if left for long periods of time. Doesn't work. Now, we don't know how long the many days, for you shall find it after many days. We don't know how long the many days is, or many days are. Either one, okay. It could be a week, it could be a month, a year, a decade, it could be your entire lifetime. We don't know how long the many days consists of. It just says after many days. I do know this, that if you threw bread in the water and were planning on eating it after many days, you will probably be disappointed. It's going to be, if it's still intact, if it hasn't just dissolved, it's going to be not only soggy, it'll be moldy, probably have some bugs in it. Not something you would really want to digest and stick into your mouth, okay? It's just, not something that you could use again. Now, let's just say you do cast your bread on the water, but it doesn't get soggy or moldy. Let's just say that you have a nice, labeled, waterproof container that you put your bread in to cast it on the water. Even if it did survive perfectly, someone would probably find it before you. Okay, remember, bread is valuable. It is a necessity, especially in this day. Bread was valuable. You need it to live. Wars were fought over food, okay? Bread specifically, okay? If you threw a valuable bottle in the ocean that everyone in the world would recognize, this is valuable, and then went looking for that bottle after you threw it in the ocean after a month, the likelihood of someone else finding that bottle before you is very high. Why? Because they would see it and realize, that's valuable. They would grab it before you. You either will never find it or someone else will find it first and they will reap the rewards. But this verse says, thou shalt find it after many days. Cast thy bread upon the water, for thou shalt find it after many days. It is a guarantee. It's a guarantee that you will find that bread again, that thing of value again. It might take days, weeks, months, or years, but thou shalt find it. It's basically a Ten Commandment, okay? Thou shalt find the bread. What you sow, you will reap. Whether or not you're looking for it or not looking for it, you will either find it through searching or you will stumble across it. Either way, you're going to find the bread. You will find that bread. Thou shalt find that bread. We don't know how long, but it is a guarantee that you will reap what you have cast. You're going to reap what you've cast. So what does this phrase mean? Cast thy bread upon the waters, for thou shalt find it after many days. The idea of sowing and reaping is giving what God has given you, and then you will receive back again. And that's throughout the Bible in different places. But there's an aspect to this of casting your bread upon the water that sets it apart from just sowing and reaping. There's an aspect to it. It sets it apart. Now, when you sow a seed into the ground, when you plant a seed, you go out to your garden and you plant a seed. You dig your hole, you pop your seed in there, you cover it up with dirt. You walk away and you come back a week later. You know exactly where that seed will be. Give or take a few feet, okay? If there's heavy erosion or something along those lines, you know it's going to be basically, it's going to be somewhere in your garden, okay? That seed, you plant it there, it's going to stay there. But when you throw something into the water, you have no idea where it will end up. You have no idea where it's going to end up. Let's just say you throw bread, okay? Cast your bread into a creek. Well, the creek leads to a lake. The lake has a river. River leads to the ocean. If sowing a seed, you plant it somewhere, it might move a few feet. If you throw something into water, it could be miles or hundreds of miles away. It is far off and gone. You have no idea where it could go. Here's what two people said about this phrase, and then I'll give you what I think. This is what the first man said. This is what, cast your bread upon the water, for afterward thou shalt find it after many days. This is what he says, do the best you can with what you have, and trust God with the results. It's pretty good. Do the best you can with what you have, and trust God with the results. Second man said this, do something good or take a risk. Do something good or take a risk, usually without expecting very much in return. Do something good without expecting very much in return. Here's what I think. I think is a closer meaning. Invest into something by faith when it seems unlikely to you that it will yield visible fruit. Invest into something, cast into something, give into something by faith when it seems unlikely to you that it will yield visible returns, visible fruit. Cast your bread on the water, somewhere that if you throw it, you're unlikely to see it again. You're not likely to find it again, or it's just going to dissolve and turn to mush. It seems unlikely to you that you will be reaping what you sow. What you are sowing it and where you are sowing it, it just doesn't mix. But cast thy bread on the water nonetheless. Cast thy bread on the water. By faith, even if it seems unlikely to you that you'll see it again. Even if it seems unlikely to you that you'll see it again. In our lives, we are commanded by God to invest into His church. By the way, that's His plan for world ministry, amen, is the church. Nothing else. Nothing else. It's the church. That's it. We're commanded by God. It's not a suggestion. We're commanded by God. Invest into His church. Time, talents, treasures. We are commanded to witness, commanded to be loving, hospitable, giving of ourselves, and we are guaranteed what? Fruit. Amen. We're guaranteed it. Ye have not chosen me, but I have chosen you and ordained you that you should go and bring forth fruit and that your fruit should remain. John 15, 16. Now, John 15, 16 is talking about souls, but just take missions. You are guaranteed fruit, but you are never guaranteed to meet the soul that's saved in Brazil. You're guaranteed fruit, but you are not guaranteed to see that fruit in your life. Make sense? We are guaranteed fruit, but we are not guaranteed to see that fruit while here on this earth. For the Son of Man shall come in the glory of his Father with his angels, and then he shall reward every man according to his works. Amen. That's at the judgment seat of Christ, the Bema seat, well, where everyone will be rewarded, all Christians will be rewarded for our works, for what we do here on this earth. Amen. We will see the fruit. It is guaranteed. We will see the fruit. But it might not be in our lifetime. That fruit, that reward, that harvest might only be visible to us after death. And we know this. We know this. But it's still hard sometimes. Oh, well, it's hard a lot of times. It's hard to have faith that you will see the fruit someday. It's hard. We all have doubts. Christians tithe, Pastor talked about along these lines this morning, but Christians tithe and expect immediate results for their good behavior. Right? Start living for God and expect God to bless them immediately. Well, I've been going to church now for a week. Why hasn't God rained his blessings down? Well, hold on. You know, we expect immediate results. Christians serve and expect immediate results or rewards from God. It's hard to invest in something and to keep investing in something when there's no visible fruit. Or it seems to you like, hey, I can't see anything. I'm given the missions, but it just seems like there's no visible fruit. And we know from God's word that there will be fruit. We know God tells us there's going to be fruit that you will not see while you are alive. You're not going to see this fruit until heaven. We know that. It's taught. And we are still commanded to do what? Cast thy bread upon the water. Invest into something by faith when it seems unlikely to you that it will yield visible fruit. Bread and water just don't mix. It just doesn't seem like a good investment, not a solid investment. Cast it into the water by faith, even if it seems unlikely to you that you'll see it again. God's word gives us the instructions. You need to cast your bread, what God has given you, into something you know that it's not going to stay where it is. That water might carry it far away. Why throw bread there? Why throw something valuable there? It's just going to leave. Why should I give away something that is helpful to me? Because God says so. Amen. It's hard to give something that you think you need away. You think you need it. It's hard to give it away. Talking to somebody this week, it's hard to pour yourself into someone when you know they or you will be gone soon. It's hard to be a good employee when you know you're leaving your job soon. It's easier to check out and stop being a diligent worker. I'm leaving here soon anyway. It's what employers do when they learn that an employee is leaving, right? Yeah. Okay, it's the mindset of why do I need to keep investing into an employee if they're just going to leave? Well, just go ahead and leave. Go ahead and leave. It's hard to invest in something when you know it will move away. This church, led by this pastor, has embraced and taken up the call to train young men for the gospel ministry. Young men who will be sent away to other churches and works around this country and around the world. Well, what do you need to do? Invest into God's program. God's ministry waters and the program embraced by this church of sending men. Invest what God has given you into people that you know will leave. Cast your bread on the water. You say, well, hold on, I need that to survive. It's a necessity. If I give that away, it might hurt me. If they leave our church, it might take a hit. Those men help this ministry.
If we lose Brother Ben, if we lose Brother Nick, Brother Garrett, well, what's going to happen to us? It's hard to give away what you consider a necessity. It's hard to invest by faith into something that seems unlikely to you that you will see the results, or that you will see the fruit, direct fruit. But what we need to do, what we must do, is cast your bread on the water. I'm reminded about a mother by the name of Jochebed, who placed her baby boy in a basket and placed that basket in the water, trusting God with the results, not knowing if she would ever see that baby again. Here's the thing with this idea. You never know what God can do when you trust Him with precious things. She never expected to see her baby boy again. And flip that, she got to nurse her baby boy. That baby boy grew up and led millions of that mother's people to freedom. Now, the Bible doesn't say this. It doesn't say whether she was alive or dead. I kind of doubt that she lived to see the fruit of that investment. But I know for a fact that in heaven, she saw that bread again. Amen. All because she cast what God had given her by faith into the waters when it seemed to her unlikely to see this again. I was writing this sermon yesterday when a mom handed me a note that came in the mail for Shalise and I. Right here. It's the second note we've received in the last week or so from the same lady, Miss Wanda Doak. Inside is a check for us and a very sweet note. Outside says, praying with expectation. Note says how she's almost 88 years old, but relies on Deuteronomy 33:25, which says, as thy days, so shall thy strength be. I was in the middle of writing these words when my mom handed me this note, and I opened it up, read it, saw this check. And I thought, here's this lady, late in her life, not able to attend many church services due to health reasons, not having a fortune to invest. And she is investing that the little that God has given her into me, not knowing whether she will live to see the return. Casting her bread on the water. She handed me this note. I had to run out of the office real fast and go find a quiet spot to just break. Because so many people in this church have invested into me. Many people that have passed away. That don't get to see me be a pastor. Didn't see the return in their lives. But when we all get to heaven and we start sharing the stories and seeing all the connections, I know everyone will find the bread that they cast on the water all those years ago. We just learned about a baby tonight. Sneaky way how you threw that in there. Verse 5, Ecclesiastes 11, talks about how we don't see babies' bones being formed in the womb. We don't see the out-of-sight spiritual bones that God is forming with our investment. We don't see that. We're not there with all the missionaries and Brother Ben's and Brother Jonathan's and interns and Brother Joe's. We're not there. We don't see all of them in person. And you might not see it now. But one day when God reveals it to you, like that baby when it's born, it will take your breath away. Amen. And you can say, I played a part in that. There's no way that any parent could look at a baby and say, I made that. I've heard that before, like, yeah, I made that. No. Only God could make a baby. Yeah. Now, understand, if we all understand this, you can't have children without parents. Your spiritual investment plays a part, but only God gives the increase. Only God could take bread thrown on the water and use it for amazing things. Only God could take your investment into young men like me and use it for His purpose. For those younger than 88, I ask that you heed the latter part of Ecclesiastes 11. It talks about what you do in your life and the reality of your death. You will die. I will die. Barring the Lord's return, you're going to die. And the days of darkness will be more than the days of light. Verse 9 says, rejoice in your youth, let thy heart cheer thee. But know that for all these things, God will bring thee into judgment. Far too many Christians are focused on their jobs, making money, and having a good time. And it is more so in youth. The Bible does agree with this. But I have seen this more than just in my generation. I've seen it with those older than me as well. Far too focused on your job, making money, having a good time. And we are free to do these things. Whatsoever thy hand findeth to do, do it with thy might. Make money, travel, see the world, get the best truck. Get the best truck, have a big house, but know this, all those things are empty. All of those things, house, car, job, money, it will burn. It will. As pastor so often says, only one life. Only one life. Twill soon be past. Days of light are few. Only one life. Twill soon be past. Only what's done for Christ will last. Be not deceived. God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. For he that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption, but he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. Amen. And let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. Amen. Keep investing. Keep casting your bread, your necessity, what God has given you, into the water. into God's ministry river. Keep going. Keep plowing. Keep sowing. Keep training. Keep witnessing. Keep giving. He which soweth sparingly shall reap also sparingly. And he which soweth bountifully shall reap also bountifully. Remember the end of the phrase. And verse 1, cast thy bread upon the waters, for thou shalt find it after many days. It might seem unlikely to you that you will see the fruit of your investment. I might not ever get to lay eyes on this fruit. But thou shalt find it. It's a guarantee. So look for it. Expect it. Keep training men and keep sending them out. It's hard. Not just hard for those that send, it's hard for those that go. But God doesn't call Christians to be a bunch of sissies. Amen. Didn't call us to be a bunch of spoiled brats for His kingdom, as Pastor says. Thou shalt find it after many days. Cast your bread on the water. Lord, I thank you for your word. Thank you for this church. Be with us now, be with this invitation. It's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen.